How do you respond when life falls apart? When the weight of trials and hardships presses on you like a burden, how do you react to that? What do you do when you find yourself at the very bottom, emotionally in a dark pit, physically drained or spiritually worn out? Sometimes those storms come because of our poor choices in life or our disobedience to God. Or sometimes they come simply because we live in a broken world and sufferings and hardships and challenges are part of life. Whatever the cause may be, one thing is certain: none of us escape struggles, trials, and hardships in life. In those moments of despair, we face a critical question. Do we run to God for guidance? Do we run to God for His strength, encouragement, or do we run from Him? The truth is, our natural tendency is to run away from God, not to God. We rely on our own strength, chase after our own solutions, and only cry out to God when everything else has failed. Jonah knew this all too well. He ran from God, and in the depths of the sea, inside the belly of a great fish, he came to realize that only God can save him. Tonight, in our series on biblical prayers, we will be looking at Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. And through it, we will learn how God meets us at our lowest point and draws us back to himself. We are familiar with Jonah's story from the Bible. He was a prophet of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II. God called Jonah to proclaim a message of judgment and mercy to Nineveh, a city notorious because of their violence and wickedness. But Jonah despised the thought of Nineveh receiving God's mercy and compassion. Instead of obeying God, he boarded a ship to Tarshish, fleeing in the opposite direction from God's call. But no one can outrun God. The Lord sent a great storm upon the sea, and Jonah quickly realized that he was the reason because of that storm. He confessed to the sailors and urged them to throw him overboard so that the storm would cease. Jonah expected death, but God, in his mercy, appointed a great fish to swallow him. For 3 days and three nights, Jonah sat in the belly of the fish with nowhere left to run. We will unpack these verses under three main headings. First of all, we will see when life falls apart, stop running and recognize God's hand. When life falls apart, stop running and return to God in repentance. And thirdly, we will see when life falls apart, stop running and trust God for restoration. So first of all, we will see when life falls apart, stop running and recognize God's hand. Please look with me in your Bibles, starting from chapter 1, verse 17. And the word of God says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." In this verse, we learn two important truths. First of all, we see that Jonah was in that situation, and it was and God appointed, first of all, God appointed a great fish, and then we will see that it was God's appointed time as well. So Jonah being swallowed by a great fish, not just accident. It wasn't a bad luck for Jonah either. The text is clear. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Just as he stirred up the waves of the sea, so too he directed this great fish and the ship to be at the right place at the right time. This verse serves a powerful reminder of God's sovereignty, his majesty, and his authority in overall creation. The same God who governs the galaxies also controls the depths of the sea. The same God who keeps the stars on their course can position a fish in a specific place to fulfill his purposes as well. We also see that God not only appoints means to fulfill his purposes and his plans, he also appoints time to accomplish his plans. In verse 17b, we read that, "And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." No more, no less. 3 days and three nights, because God had appointed it so. The timing was not accidental either. God purposed it, and it was God's plan. Jonah was in Lord's waiting room for exactly 3 days and three nights. Scripture tells us that Abraham waited 25 years for the birth of his promised child with Sarah. Joseph waited for 13 years before the dreams God given him came true. David waited for years, running for his life from Saul before he became the king of Israel as God promised him. And Jonah waited 3 days and three nights, not that God was absent during this time, but because God was at work in Jonah's heart, bringing him from rebellion to surrender. In all these examples, we see that God appointed the time and means to fulfill his promises. It shows that God appoints time and means in our lives as well. Sometimes it can feel painful, or it can be uncomfortable place to be in God's waiting room. Sometimes it can feel as though our prayers are not heard. It can feel like we are stuck in a situation where no way to go out. But here is the hope. God's waiting room is never wasted time. It was not wasted time for Abraham. It was not wasted time for Joseph. And it was not wasted time for David or Jonah. It is not wasted time for you as well when you are in God's waiting room. But I think it is a good question to ask, what is our attitude while we wait on God? Do we trust in him? Do we trust that he is sovereign over our lives? Do we trust that his purposes are being carried out even when we don't fully perceive what God is doing? Do we recognize God's hand in our situation, in our life as well? Verse 3 gives us a glimpse that Jonah recognized God's hand in his situation. Look at with me in your Bibles on verse 3. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." Here in this verse, Jonah came to see that God's hand was at work in his situation. He recognized that it was not because of those sailors that he was thrown in the sea. It was not their mistake. He recognized that it was God, because he says that, "For you cast me into the deep sea." He recognized God's hand. He recognized that God was disciplining him. The author of Hebrews reminds us in chapter 12, verse 6, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline so to be zealous and repent." Discipline is never pleasant. It exposes our weaknesses. It exposes our shortcomings. But at the same time, God's discipline is proof of our sonship and his love. It is a sign of God's delight and care for his children. In verses 5 and 6, Jonah describes how far God's hand reached out for him. Verse 5 tells us, "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." In these verses, Jonah feels the weight of God's discipline passing down, water closing in, weeds wrapped around his head. He describes his situation as prison bars locking him in. But even from that pit, where death was imminent, and there was nowhere to go, there was no one else to help him, God, in his mercy, brought him up from the pit. And Jonah discovered God's deliverance from the lowest place, at the lowest point. He recognized that it is God's hand that brought him into this situation. In verse 3, we have already looked, he says that, "For you cast me into the deep," and it is God's hand who brought him up. In verse 6b as well, when he writes, "Yet you brought up my life from the pit." Dear church, when we believers backslide or wander from the Lord, we should know that nothing in our lives happens by accident. In Jonah's case, the storm, the fish, the 3 days and three nights, all of it was under God's sovereign hand. The same is true for you. The same is true for me. If we backslide or wander from God, we must know that God is in control of our life, and he is bringing us back to himself. We should know that God's waiting room, where he shapes us, he shapes our hearts, he molds us, he guides us, and he brings us back because of his love and mercy for us. So when you find yourself in God's waiting room, instead of resisting to God, just surrender to him. Instead of doubting God, trust in him. Instead of running from God, lean into his mercy, because God's waiting room is not wasted time. It is a place where he refines us. It is a place where he brings us to restoration. In the first point, we have seen that God appointed the means and time for Jonah to bring him back to him. And in the second point, we will see that Jonah repents when he recognized God's hand. So our second point is, when life falls apart, stop running and turn to God through repentance. And for this, we will look at verse 1 in chapter 2. Jonah writes, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." We know that in chapter 1, when the sailors asked Jonah to pray, he did not pray at that stage. He did not want to ask God for his help. He did not want to ask God for his direction. He refused. He hardened his heart, but now, with death closing in, we see Jonah finally does what he should have done before. He calls on the Lord. We see a turning point in Jonah's life where running ends and repentance begins. Out of the belly of Sheol, he writes, I cried and you heard my voice. After hitting rock bottom, Jonah finally turned to God in prayer. He says, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. David Baker notes that the word Sheol does not mean the fear of annihilation, but of being abandoned by God. Jonah was clearly full of fear that because of the situation he is in, he is abandoned by God. And in this situation, he asks God, he cries to God, and he says that you heard my voice when I cried unto you. He realized his mistake. He called upon the Lord, and he understood that the merciful God is able to answer his prayer. Our God is able to hear our cries. Our God is able to hear our prayers. There is no hiding place from him. It doesn't matter if we are in a deep pit. He can still hear us. He can still answer our prayers. He can still bring us out from the pit. Jonah presses further into this truth in verse 4 when he says, then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. We can see the shift in Jonah's tone and shift in his shift that now from despair, he is turning to faith. And we see that repentance is not only admitting our guilt. Repentance is not only admitting our mistake, it is also turning to God who forgives. In repentance, Jonah turns his face back to God and trusts in his mercy. In verses 5 and 6, we have looked already, he says, he explains that his bottom, of the sea, when he says that the waters closed in over me and take my life. The deep surrounded me, weeds were wrapped about me. And then he says that, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. And here we see this is the lowest point and the highest grace of God. Jonah hit the bottom. He had nowhere left to go. And yet, just when all seemed lost, God reached out to him from the depths and he lifted him up. And this is the wonder of God's grace. Think about the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. We know the story that the prodigal son, he wasted his inheritance in reckless living. He ended up in shame, in hunger, and in poverty. But when he realized his mistake and returned home, what did his father do? He ran out to him. He embraced him. He kissed him. And he placed a robe on his shoulders, a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and prepared a feast for the prodigal son. That's the heart of our God. He is merciful, ready to forgive those who come to him in repentance. And this was not just Jonah's hope. It is our hope as well. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 declares, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the hope of repentance. No matter how far you have fallen, God can lift you up. God can pick you up from the pit of destruction, and he can save you. Friends, like Jonah, Sometimes we run from God because of our bad choices, our habits, our attitude towards God. We harden our hearts, try to handle things in our own way, try to handle things with our own wisdom. But only cry to God when we hit rock bottom. But repentance is the turning point. It is the moment we stop running and return to God. For some of us, that may mean confessing a hidden sin we have been clinging to. For others, it may mean surrendering a stubborn area of pride or admitting that we have drifted in our walk with the Lord. Repentance leads to hope. It leads because God meets us in our mercy and not reject us. So we can ask this question. We can ask this question to ourselves. Are we running from God? In what area of our life we are trying to hide from God? What pit have we found where we want to hide ourselves from God? The same God who lifted Jonah from the depths can lift us up as well. If you will run to him in repentance, you will find that his arms are ready to receive you. We have seen in these verses the lowest point of Jonah. We have seen that God appointed means to bring him back to him. And now we will see that how God restores Jonah from his situation, how God saves him. And the third point, when life falls apart, stop running and trust God for restoration. And for this, we will look at verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says that those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. In this verse, Jonah contrasts the emptiness of idols with the reality of God's saving power. The phrase vain idols literally means that empty of or nothing. Idols promise life, but they only bring disappointment. Psalm 31 verse 6 says that we find, here in this verse, we find a similar expression where the psalmist writes, I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. Prophet Isaiah points a similar picture in chapter 46. Listen to these verses when he writes, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on very beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. And in these verses, we see that Isaiah clearly gives us a contrast between the idols of Babylon, that they are not able to save their people, but their people have to carry them on the animals, on the carts. And he shows them to Israel that your God who has created you, he carries you from your womb. He helps you and he guides you in your life. But those idols cannot do anything. And here, now, we may not have any idols or carved idols in our lives like Bel or Nebo. We may not have idols like the Ninevites had, that perhaps Jonah is referring to in the text. But idols today can be just as real as those. In the morning, Pastor Allen touched on this point as well about idols in our life. But idols in our lives can be anything that takes our time, that takes our intentions, that takes our heart and love for the Lord away. And instead of worshiping God, instead of praying to God, we spend that time with that idol, in pleasing that idol maybe, or pleasing ourselves through that idol. So here we see that in verse 8, Jonah experienced the spiritual intervention from God. He received a spiritual intervention similarly as Apostle Paul received a spiritual intervention from God on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him and Jesus spoke to him. Sometimes God's interventions are dramatic, like Paul or Jonah's situation. And sometimes it is through the ordinary means, such as hearing God's word or singing praises to God's name. And this is God intervening in our lives. When we hear his intervention, we must act. We must do something about it. We must understand that we need repentance from our sin, where we are going away from God, and we need to come to God for restoration. And this is what Jonah did in his situation. This is where God was bringing Jonah to the point where he would acknowledge that salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah could not save himself from drowning. He could not escape God's call. He did not deserve rescue, yet God rescued him, saved him, and restored him. This is the gospel that we find in Jonah. A rebellious sinner, drowning in the consequences of his disobedience and sin, yet he was rescued and restored by the pure mercy of God. Friends, like Jonah, we were trapped in our sins. We were trapped in our trespasses. We were helpless, nowhere else to go. And we could not save ourselves, but God made us alive in Christ. Like Jonah, we were unable to escape the wrath of God. Only God could lift us up and wash away our sins, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Maybe you are here this evening, and because of the burden of your sins, you feel yourself that you are disqualified to have the mercy of God, to enjoy the mercy of God, or to come in God's presence. Maybe because of your past sins, you think that you are not worthy to receive the mercy of God. But God can rescue you. He is merciful. So when God can take away your sins, he has, Christ has paid the price for our sins. When we repent and come to him, God is able to show his mercy to you as well. So when life falls apart, when you think that there is no hope, there is no way to go, stop running. Lift your eyes and recognize the hand of God, and repent and find restoration in him. Jonah cried, "Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." No matter how deep your pit is, the gospel assures us that Jesus has gone deeper still, through death and into restoration, so that he might lift us up. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we recognize that we cannot save ourselves. We recognize that Jesus came in the world, that through him you have given salvation. And I pray this evening, Father, Lord, if there is anyone amongst us who still is in their sin, whose sins are not forgiven, I pray that the Spirit of God may work in their hearts. The Spirit of God may bring them to you. I pray, Father, Lord, that help us that we may recognize that that we cannot run away from you. We may recognize that when we backslide or we try to run away from you, there is no place where we can hide. Help us that we may remember to come back to you. Help us that we may repent from our sins, and we ask for your forgiveness and we ask for your mercy. Lord, we pray that as this we look at this message, I pray that it may stir our hearts to pray to you. It may stir our hearts that we may look those idols maybe in our lives, those take our hearts away from you, and we may take those idols away from our life, and we may come to you, and we may it may stir our hearts to pray to you, to worship you more, to know you more, to love you more. And Father Lord, I pray that strengthen us in our life, in our heart, that we may serve you more. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.